We are in the midst of our household, desperate household series, and we believe that God is speaking to fathers right now. Don't you? Isn't this a wonderful display of what life is all about? Amen? It's all about the family. It's all about fathers. I'd like everybody to stand up on your feet with me, please. I want you to declare this confession with me. Just say it nice and loud with a lot of vibrance and a lot of persuasion. And just let the devil know that you're a blessed man and blessed woman this morning, all right? You may want to lift your hands with me and just declare it. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the blessing. You said you will make my name great. You said I will be a blessing. You said you will bless those who bless me and curse those who curse me. You said the blessing of Abraham would come upon me. Therefore, I receive the promise of the Spirit. Through faith in Christ, I am blessed, blessed, blessed in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, give somebody a high five. Let them know they're blessed this morning. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. And we're just going to get some things ready. Don't get nervous here this morning while they're passing out some things, but just hang with me. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I want to read it again. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, God, from the very beginning, had always intended that the house of God be a family of God, and that our individual homes would be ruled and reigned by the Holy Spirit. That God would not be some God that's an icon of religiosity, but that He would be a personal God. He would be a God the Father. Hallelujah. And that's why our hearts cry out, Abba, Father. He wants a personal relationship with us. I want to present to us today a question. What contacts a man's heart and impacts a man's life when another person that's filled with the Holy Spirit causes that other person to follow hard after what is in their life? What is it that causes one man to follow hard after another man who's filled with the presence of God? I mean, think about it for a minute. Elisha and Elijah. Elisha was a protege of Elijah the prophet. And one day Elijah just came and came up to Elisha and said, I want you to follow me. And threw his mantle on him. And from that point, Elisha followed hard after Elijah. He refused to be persuaded any other way. He refused to live any other kind of life but following hard after the man of God. What causes a young man like Timothy to give his allegiance to an apostle, a great man called Paul? Paul, who laid hands upon him and stirred up gifts and imparted gifts into his life. How is it that Timothy and Paul, although not biologically connected, became like a father and a son that was ever so close? Or what about the men at Ephesus? We read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 37. That particular story tells us that Paul was teaching the church at Ephesus, and then when it was time for him to depart, the elders and the leaders and the men literally fell on their knees and began to weep over the fact that Paul was going to leave them. What bonded them so closely? What bonded them? What element was it that caused them to be so connected? I want to talk a little bit this morning about connection. Connection to possession. And guys, I want to just present to you today that how important it is for you to possess God. How important it is for you to be so full of the Spirit of God that when you lead your family, pray for your family, when you walk through the doors after work, when you come and you give counsel, when you greet your children in the morning, anytime they're in your presence, they're drawn to you because of what's in you. You see, each one of us have been created for this hunger and thirst for the Spirit of God. That's why when we declare the Word of God to someone who needs to be saved, that Word, that Spirit and life begins to draw on their spirit. And we today, as men of God, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's what draws our children to God through us. We are the greatest conduit to God on the earth. You and I, when we are filled with God, draw our children towards God's presence. And so I want to ask us today, what are we doing to become more filled with the presence and the purposes of God in this hour? I believe that today we're going to have to look at how we might bless our children. There's a need to empower them in this generation. Because God the Father, His very first act toward His sons and His daughter was to bless them. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, before He even gave them an assignment, He said to His children, He said, I bless you. I bless you because I don't believe you can fulfill your assignment until you are empowered with my blessing. Guys, listen to me. You carry within your belly the ability to bless your sons and your daughters. You have an ability that God has passed on into your life. That as we see these families that were along the stage this morning, they have a unique ability to be able to impart a blessing so that your son and your daughter is able to fulfill the assignment that God has given them. You see, to bless is simply this. It means to honor. It means to be given power for success, prosperity, and longevity. How many fathers in this room today want to see their children prosperous, live long lives, become successful? Let me see your hands, guys. That's right. We want to see our children become prosperous. We want to see them live long lives and have successful lives. Then you and I have got to learn how to bless them. You and I have got to be the ones that get into the presence of God and get so filled with the glory of God and the presence of God in our own lives that when we lay hands upon our children and we say to them, I bless you in Jesus' name, when you release that through touch and through words, something is deposited inside of them that gives them the power to have success and prosperity and longevity. But guys, we've got to get the blessing of God ourselves. We've got to be men who seek hard after the face of God. We've got to be men who are willing to turn the television off, turn our back towards the sports program for just a little while, get in the glory of God, get in the overflow of the presence of God, and then go find our babies, go find our sons, and go find our daughters, and lay hands on them and impart something into their lives that unless they have, they will not be successful, prosperous, or have longevity in this life. There is a call of God to every father. There is a call from the Holy Spirit coming into our minds, our ears, coming into our lives, and it's declaring, be filled with the Spirit of God and release that fullness into the lives of your children. You see, Jacob sought after the blessing of God. And you and I have to know that if we don't bless our children, the world will attempt to bless them. And you and I cannot afford to allow the world to curse or to try to, quote, bless our children. You see, even though Jacob was a deceiver, he knew the power that was in the blessing. His mother knew the power that was in the blessing that was in Isaac. And he knew that Isaac possessed something that he had to give away. It was tangible. It was transferable. And guys, in this generation, what are we transferring into our kids? What are we imparting into their lives? Are we imparting into them self-centeredness? Are we transferring into them lusts for the things of this world? What are we transferring? You see, we're going to transfer one thing or another. And that's why today we've got to make a decision. We've got to make a choice. We've got to make a decision right here this morning that what we're going to transfer, what we're going to impart into our kids is going to be the very, very change agent that they need and that's required, that Jacob sought after, that made Jacob a nation, that changed Jacob into Israel. It's amazing what this generation is facing today. The Father, through words and actions, provides an indelible picture of affirmations in a child's mind and memory. What you say is so powerful. How you treat them and what you do in their presence is so powerful. This week, God laid on my heart. He said, I want you to put together about a 30 or 40 minute exhortation, just talking to the men. And I went in the recording studio and sat down underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I began to preach to every man that wants to hear it. I titled it Desperate Households, Man to Man. These are going to be available for you for only $5 after the service on the concierge desk. But I encourage every man to get one. Why? Because it's just you and me. All we're doing is sitting down and I'm talking to you and I'm telling you the call of God on your life. I'm talking about what you can do and how you can change this generation. I'm talking to you about how God has imparted to you the Spirit of God so that you can impart it to your children. I've taught you in here how to give them affirmations and confirmations of who they are and how to put words in your mouth and in your vocabulary that celebrate your kids, that reward them with your approval and with your confirmation about who they are. And this is one powerful Holy Ghost tool that will change their life forever. But you see, we as men have to understand and be persuaded that God's deposited something in us that is powerful, that can change a generation. Because let me tell you something. Church, the way it's been, is not doing it. The percentages of our kids are going downward that are staying in church. The world is captivating them and is taking them captive. And it's time we do what David did at Ziklag. When our wives and our children and our possessions are stolen by the Amalekites, what do we got to do? We've got to stir ourselves up in the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get stirred up in the Holy Ghost. Guys, you've got to get angry. You've got to get mad. You've got to get persuaded. You've got to say, you know what? Enough of this stuff. I'm not letting my teenager go by the way of drugs and alcohol and premarital sex and worldliness. I'm not going to allow them to hate church and be bored with the presence of God. I'm going to stir myself up in the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to go and pursue, and I'm going to overtake, and I'm going to return everything that was stolen from me, even while I slept. But you've got to be resolved today to make a change in your life. This generation's waiting for it. It's not another fancy youth group outing. It's not another program that we could develop in local churches, another gizmo that we can put up on the screen, somehow to attract the kids through a light show and a new band that comes out and plays the kind of music they relate to. We tried every one of those kinds of concepts, and it hasn't worked. Meanwhile, Dad is detached. Dad is away from the church. Dad's not involved in the things of the Spirit, and that's the very thing they need. They want somebody to impart into them that power of the Holy Ghost, and it's got to come from you, Dad. It's got to come from you. Isaac blessed Jacob more than once, and every opportunity you have, every chance you're in the presence of God, the anointing of God, anytime there's an anointing anywhere, the first thing you ought to do is think about, where's my kids? Where's my kids? Where's my boy? Where's my girl? Where's she at? Bring her up here. I'm laying hands on them right now. because I feel the anointing of God. And I know that the anointing of God is transferable and it's tangible. And if the anointing is on me right now, give me my boy, give me my girl, and let me lay hands upon them and impart something into their life that'll change them forever. See, what we've tried to do is we've tried to serve God from the external. We've tried to have an outside approach. That doesn't work. It has to come from the inside. That's why religion will never satisfy your needs. I don't care if it's Jehovah's Witness. I don't care if it's Mormonism. I don't care what it is. Until you have the power of Christ, the power of the living God up inside your spirit, that thing won't work. Because this works on the inside out, not on the outside in. So we're talking today about a generation that if we don't bless our children, the world will attempt to curse our children. Do you believe that? Where's that t-shirt? Do we have it around here somewhere? Go get that t-shirt. Let's make a deal. You want to make a deal? Let's make a deal. Actually, they're not asking your permission, Mom. And they care less what you think that. Because the deal that they're making is not with you. The deal that they're making is with your son. And they're making it with your daughter. What happened? Is it go back up there? There it is. Okay. Leave it up there. How many have ever seen these kind of t-shirts on our kids? A little skater thing with a little flame boy. You ever hear Flame Boy? You ever hear of World Industries? How many parents in here have ever heard of World Industries and Flame Boy? Raise your hand. Okay, about 12. And at the same time, one of the largest distributors of paraphernalia, t-shirts, skateboard gear, hats, all kind of stuff. And they got a little kid on the back that's a Flame Boy. And kids wear them all the time, even kids in our church, because they don't know any better. But this is the marketing scheme of World Industries. Here's what they say in their cartoons on their website. They say to your children, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Hey, kiddies, it's me, Devil Man, along with my trusty psychopath, Flame Boy, here to make you a little offer. Here's the deal. I want your soul. But, boss, won't they need their souls if they want to go to heaven? That's where I want to go when I die. First of all, Flame Boy, you're already dead. That's why you're in hell. And second of all, heaven's not all that's cracked up to be. I said, no, I used to live there. You used to live in heaven, boss? I didn't know you used to live there. Well, Flame Boy, being an idiot, there's a lot of things you don't know. Now shut up and direct your attention to the adjacent flashback panel. Heaven. And it shows them all being disbanded from heaven because of their drinking and their carousing and scantily clad women. And see, back when I lived up there, I tried to make heaven a fun place, but that just got me and my friends kicked out. Knowing how bad we were. After God told me to go to hell, things in heaven were never quite the same. What happened? First of all, they set up a bunch of dumb rules. And then they imposed a really strict dress code. Which is that people must be quite bored up there. But hey, that's what they get for being good. Say, boss, there's something I've been meaning to ask you. Elementary, my boy. And I'm not going to read it. But you can read it. But your kids read it every day. Flame Boy, even a dimwit like you can see that hell is by far the best place to retire. Just look at all the fun that he had. Remember, in hell, there's only one rule. And that is that there's no rules. Does that mean I can stay up past my bedtime? Yeah. It also means I can beat you to a pulp if I so desire. So keep your mouth shut. Now, what children have bedtimes? What age groups have bedtimes? I only have a few more frames left to get kids to send me their souls, or this whole advertising campaign is a complete failure. In case you didn't hear that, let me say it again. I only have a few more frames left to get kids to send me their souls, or this whole advertising advertising campaign is a complete failure. So, kids, to ensure your permanent place in hell, send me your soul now. And just to make absolutely sure when you're going, where you're going, it probably won't hurt to buy a few of these things with my pictures on it. And if you act now and send in the following coupon, releasing your soul to me for eternity, I'll send you this free t-shirt. Please include $6.66 for shipping. And this is what the t-shirt says. I sold my soul, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Contract. I, the undersigned, do hereby give possession of my soul to the devil for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the devil on the bottom right corner says, I'll be seeing you. But boss, won't they need their souls if they want to go to heaven? That's where I want to go when I die. First of all, flame boy, you're already dead. And that's why you're in hell. And second of all, heaven's not all it's cracked up to be. Let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. Did we even know that exists? Do we even know that the world is trying to curse your son and your daughter? And literally sign a contract to get a stupid t-shirt that says they sold their soul to the devil? Oh, it's just harmless. It's just fun. That's about as harmless and fun as Halloween. And we say, well, we're not celebrating the devil. Well, you know, get a clue. What do you think that's all about? You know, it's amazing to me how our school system can celebrate witches, Satanism, and magnify that religion, and yet you come in with Christ and the Bible, and you're kicked out. And we sit back passively and allow them to do it. And some of us even participate in it. So what I'm asking today, guys, is do you really want your kids to go to hell? Of course not, you don't. But that's where they're going. So how can you say that, Pastor? Come on, it's Sunday morning. Man, you're supposed to be making me feel good. We're going to get to that. But sometimes before you feel good, you've got to start feeling a little bad. We need to realize that there's a real devil out there, and he puts it in cartoon form, and he starts going after your kids at 6, 7, and 8 years old who are on the website. Many of us can't even log on to the Internet, let alone check on what they're doing. Okay, now, I don't want to get into all of this because I don't have time. But let me just tell you about MySpace. Have you ever heard of MySpace? How many dads have heard of MySpace? Okay, a few of you. See, MySpace is where your kids put their pictures and talk to their friends about their life. And actually show photos of them, and many of them nude and in positions and places that you'd be appalled at. But see, you have no idea. Because that's a world that we're ignorant of. It's like they speak Greek, and we speak English. That's just one other area about myriads of areas. And I'm looking at the dads, I'm saying, where are the fathers? Where are the dads at the altars? Where are the dads in church? Why aren't the dads wanting to come and bless their kids? Where are the dads when it comes to working in the nursery or helping us out in the church? Why is it we always have the women who are trying to hold the family together while the dads are somewhere out in the left field, if even in the ballpark? Come on now. I'm talking to us this morning, and the reason why I'm sharing this is because there's a generation out there that's looking for somebody to love them with the love of God and the power of God. Yesterday, I was in a service where a funeral where a 25-year-old boy was laid to rest, dying of a gunshot wound, killed at 25. And I looked at the faces of young people, and many of them were talking about the testimonials, not having a father, and how they needed love, and how their friends gave them love, and they gave them acceptance. And they were crying out, tears rolling down their face because of their friend that was dead, but also because of their need, crying out for their dads. But their dads are checked out. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 6, there's a story there that talks about Balaam. And it talks about Balak. And Balak was the leader of a people that wanted to destroy Israel. hired Balaam to curse Israel. You see, there is a hiring to curse our generation. It's called materialism in this world. You go to the mall, you go to any one of those clothes stores, and you're not going to hear "Just As I Am, Sweet Hour of Prayer." You're going to hear "Rocket Baby, Come On, Give It to Me" all night long. That's what you're going to hear. And you're going to see kids in there that are showing more than what they ought to be showing. You're going to be feeling the whole atmosphere of, "I want to seduce your son. I want to seduce your daughter." And they fall prey right into it. It's a material world. From pop music to clothing to theater to Hollywood, you name it. And it's all geared at one thing: to bring a curse upon those that have been called to be blessed. We and I are the righteous seed on the earth. God has created us in His image. Our sons and daughters are called of God to become like God, not to become like this world. But there's only one line of defense that's going to make the difference between the cursing and the blessing, and that is a Father who is full of the Holy Ghost. I say, "God, how do I get full of the Holy Ghost? Do I get into service and they lay hands on me and go, 'See my tie, tie my tie, shun die, run die'?" And so we got this language that we think now we're full of the Holy Ghost. But that's not the full that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the full that allows you to live holy. The fullness of the Spirit of God that helps you to overcome temptation. That you're able to walk in the presence of God. That you're able to do right and not wrong. That you're able to bless and not curse. That's the fullness I'm talking about. That's the fullness that our children need from us today. And it's a desperate situation because we hear the latest statistics that this little generation that's in school today, less than 4% of them will serve God in their generation. The baby boomers. World War II, they were in the 60th percentile. And we have progressively, on generation to generation, have lost kids to this world system. But in verse 12 of this particular story, Numbers 22, Balaam said this: "You cannot curse what's been blessed." That's why we've got to get a blessed-free generation going. That's why you've got to get up in the morning, guys, and be full of the Holy Ghost and lay hands on your kids and separate them for the glory of God and say, "You know what? My child is blessed. My child is blessed according to Abrahamic covenant of Genesis chapter 12 and 15 and repeated with chapter 14, which is high priest Melchizedek. My son and my daughter is blessed according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. They're blessed. They're blessed. They're blessed." And we've got to stand between them and the cursing of this world. And when you put the blessing of God on them and in them, they cannot be cursed by this earth and by this world. Verse 20, the blessing can't be reversed. That which God blesses cannot be reversed. In chapter 24 and verse 9b, whoever attempts to curse them, it'll turn back on them. That's what God's doing in this hour. He's raising up a generation that when the devil tries to curse them, it'll go back on them. Because God's raising up young, powerful, mighty sons and daughters in the Spirit. And there were thousands of them at the Choir of the Fire this past weekend in downtown Cleveland. And if there were some of them that were there last night, stand up on your feet. I want you to see some of these Holy Ghost young men and women of God. Because you know what? They're hungry for God. And they're passionate for God. And they're looking around and they're saying, "How come we're hungrier than you? How come we're more passionate than you? How come we want God more than you?" You can be seated. And the Bible says one generation will speak to another. And it's not necessarily the old generation that will speak to the next generation. Maybe it's the younger generation that's going to have to speak to the older generation. Maybe it's time that they be raised up and full of the power of God and come home someday and say, "Dad, come over here. Get on your knees. You're not right with God. I'm tired of your hypocrisy. I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to impart into you the power of God." Maybe that's what it's going to take. We are in desperate times. These are desperate households. These are families that are being ruined by sin. We are passionless churches. We're filled with our own wants and desires. We want our 12 little minute homilies and get out at noon. We don't want any more tearing at the altars. We don't even want to criticism. We would be uncomfortable. But let me tell you something. It is uncomfortable to spend eternity in hell. It's uncomfortable to see your sons and daughters murdered at age 25. It is uncomfortable. God said, it's time to bless. It's time to bless. Guys, it's time to bless. It's time to open your mouth and bless. It's time to open up your mouth and pray over your kids. It's time to bless. It's time to be so filled with the passion for their success and their longevity and their prosperity that you live and move and have your being for nothing else but to see them become successful in the ways of God. Driving in here this morning, I thought, okay, God, you know, just show me a contrast. And I saw a truck pulling a fishing boat. And I thought, that's great. Go out and fish while your son and daughter sends for a t-shirt that gives their soul to the devil and gives $6.66 to play on the number of the Antichrist, 666. You go ahead and catch a few trout and a few perch and have a great day. Drink a few buds. And we'll see you later, Dad, while I go to hell. Nice knowing you. And I know this is hard. But let me tell you something, guys. If we don't shake out of our stupor, if we don't realize the call of God that's upon our lives, we've got to stop tantalizing ourselves. We've got to stop involving ourselves in sin. We seem to start seeing ourselves as servants of God for one purpose, and to raise up a godly generation in this hour. There's awesome power in the touch. You and I have to touch. Am I doing something wrong? When you touch your children, it represents the transfer of power. It was the great high priest on the Day of Atonement that would lay his hands upon the goat. He would pray over that goat. And he would impart the sins of the nation on that goat. And then it would be banished to the wilderness. Power transfer. Moses laid his hands on Joshua. It was said that Joshua possessed the wisdom of Moses, for Moses laid his hands on him. There's something powerful about the touch. Paul the apostle said of Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you, that you receive through the impartation of the laying on of my hands. Guys, when's the last time you took your son or your daughter and laid hands on them and prayed for them? Elijah laid his cloak on Elisha. He also tells us in the Bible to lay hands upon the sick and watch them recover. There's something inside your belly. There's something inside your belly. You know what? We have released this generation to normalcy. We have guided this generation to passivity. We have guided this generation to self-service, and we have lost our passion for the glory and the presence of God. Bring them in. You can put a half of them over here and half of them over there. Split them up. Put half here and put half over there. Just bear with me, kids. I'm about done. But there's an awesome power in touch, but there's an also awesome power in the words that are spoken. Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 8 says. Where the word of the king is, there is power. How many know that you are priests and kings in God? Where the word of a king is, there is power. Whatever you say, there is power in that word. Based on the authority of God raising you up as a king and as a priest, whatever you declare, there's power in that word. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of his power. Did you know what you say to your kids will literally frame or create their world? Think about it for a minute. There's awesome power in touch, but there's also awesome power in what you say. The power of life and death is in your words. Words are containers of thought and spiritual energy. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Listen, there's a land of promise waiting for the Joshua generation. They're waiting for a Joshua generation. And the blessing of God will do something in their life that nothing else will. When I look at these young people, When I look at the teens that are coming in, when I look at the children that are going to join us, I want you to know something. They are your seed on the earth. They are the Joshua generation. They are the kids that God has raised up in this hour to usher in the return of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you lay hands upon them, the blessing of God creates something. The blessing of God creates their identity. It gives them an identity of who they are. The blessing of God creates a release in their spirit. Until they get the blessing of God, they'll never get into their destiny and their gifting. Their identity is a self-awareness of their purpose and their call of God. Number three is empowerment. Empowerment comes through the laying on of hands. According to Acts chapter 19 and 6, when they laid hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. You see, I really feel like a lot of this stuff has been delegated for the church to do. The church, children's church workers and the youth workers to somehow lay hands on your kids so they can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Or to get stirred up in the gifts. But guys, it's our responsibility to have this empowerment. He tells us also the blessing of God will create an impartation. Deuteronomy 34:9, Joshua full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses laid his hands on him. And then finally, the blessing of God will create in a generation acceleration. Everybody say acceleration. Elisha did twice the miracles of Elijah. There needs to be an acceleration. Acceleration of the things of God. Listen, our world is in trouble today. The church is in trouble. You know, there's one more story that breaks on another evangelical leader. There's one more story of a senator that falls into some kind of impropriety. There's one more story. And meanwhile, the church, where are we? I mean, we've got an election coming up on Tuesday. Let me tell you something. The Democrats are not going to help you. And the Republicans refuse to. Who do you think is going to help you? You know, it just amazes me that we have a 16-year tenure of Republicans in Ohio. We go, okay, that was crappy. Now let's get some Democrats in there. All right, you'll have 16 years of them, and guess what you'll say 16 years from now? Boy, that was worthless. Let's get some Republicans in there. Why? Because this generation doesn't know how to preserve itself or how to present itself apart from the Spirit of God. And so we as a church, this is our greatest opportunity to be raised up. You're going to have to split those up, Pam. Put half of them on the other side because moms and dads are going to pray for them in a minute. There won't be room. So get some over here. You guys can hang out with me for a minute. But Elijah did twice of the miracles. I don't know if you received this when you came in today, but a generational prayer blessing. Did you get one of these cards, guys? I've got some cards up here for head of households. If you're a lady this morning, you don't have a man at home. Then this is you. And you come get one of these cards. And I think we've got some here, and the guys will be standing up here in a minute. But if you want to come get them, you can get them now. But what I did is I put a generational prayer blessing in this card so you can pray over your kids. Then I gave you about 150 affirmations, things like this. You're fantastic, beautiful work, outstanding, you're spectacular, you're a real trooper, you're unique. Great discovery, you try so hard, good effort, magnificent, you've got it, super, phenomenal, marvelous, dynamite, you mean so much to me, you make me laugh, you brighten up my day. That's what we need to be telling our kids. And then on the back bottom, I got a family vow down there. And that family vow basically says, like Jonathan said to David, he said, I'll not cut or hurt you. He gave him his sword. He said, I'll be transparent and defenseless against you. He put down his shield. And finally, he gave him his robe and said, I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be real with you. And I put this little thing together, guys, this little CD. And then if you don't have $5, tell them, I don't have the money, and get one. We're just trying to cover the cost for this thing. But I want you to know something. You need to get one of these and put it in your car. Put it in the car and listen to it on your way to work. And let me preach to you, because we have for so long been told the exact opposite. We're not getting it into our spirit. This thing's got to get down into our spirit. Get the series on desperate households. This is our fourth message, that we are going to transform this whole entire region because men of God are going to raise up and be strong in the spirit. I want my family to come up here with me on this platform. kids. Come on, Cree. Troy, where are you? Get up here. Who else is here? Mary's gone working. Where's Jeremiah here? Come here, come here. All right. I just want you to line up and get on your knees. Gina, I need to share something real quick here. I don't know if you can use this. You can just talk next to me.
This torch right here is a fire that has to spread across this world. It's not a toy. It's a weapon. I'm reading a book right now, and it's called The Torch. And Jesus actually is giving this to a man, and he's telling this man, if you walk away from me, this torch will be heavy, and you will have to put it down. But if you stay close to me and in my presence, it's the only way that you can carry this torch. So we have a mandate today. It's the presence of God. It's not the fire that's burning. It's the presence of God that will keep this fire burning.
Now, I want us to get ready, and this group here is going to have to spread out a little bit, Michelle, because like that over there, that's perfect. But I want to take this torch today, and I want it to burn very bright, and I want to pass this over to my family, and I want to symbolically lay this in their hand, because the torch and the fire that is burned in me, I want them to hold within their own hand. And I want them to know today that on this day, the 5th of November in 2006, Papa, Dad, grabbed the torch and put it in my hand. And it required of me to therefore walk in the power and the fire of God all the days of my life. And so in Jesus' name, I'll start down here and I want you to pass it down. Pass it back to me and I'll pass it to you. In Jesus' name, we give this torch to you. And we say, carry the burden of the Lord on this generation. Little Creek, pick it up. I say to you, carry this torch, April, and let the fire of God burn in your life from here on out. Dominic, pick up this sword. Pick up this torch. And I declare in Jesus' name that the fire of God needs to come into your generation. Louis, take this torch in Jesus' name. This is not just an act in the natural, this is a powerful impartation in the spirit. And you have to carry the fire of God. Rachel, you've got to carry the fire of God everywhere you go. Wherever God will take you in your career, every place that your feet will tread, take the fire of God with you. Dion, I'm telling you right now, God is raising you up as a mighty prophet, and you must have the fire and the torch of God burning in your soul. In Jesus' name, Jeremiah. Jesus' name, God calling the weeping prophet.
Yes,
God, I call you a prophet to the nations, and you will indeed take this fire of God in your belly and take it to this generation in Jesus' name. And Rebecca, I give to you now the fire of God, the torch of God, and I pass it on to you and your generation. And I say, be filled with the Spirit of God all the days of your life. And Troy, I declare to you now by the power and the Spirit of God that this hour the fire of God has been transferred into your belly. Take it to this generation and to the nations of the earth in Jesus' name. And church on the North Coast, I pass this torch unto you and I say, receive it in the name of the Lord, the fire of God, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I declare to you that this fire must burn brightly in your homes and in your workplace and in your children's lives in Jesus' name. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want moms and dads to find your baby. Have you found them? You already know where they're at? I want you to go to your babies real quick. Go find your baby. And if mom and dad hasn't found you yet, yell out. You guys can get up. Mom, Dad, come get me. I'm over here. I want you to find your baby. And I want you to take this generational prayer card. And we're going to pray this card together all at one time. If you don't have a baby here today, you can be seated. But we're going to pray with them before we leave. Come on. It's only going to take a minute. It's only going to take a minute. But this is so important by the Spirit of God. This is so important that we take this covenant. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Listen to the instructions. I want you to be able to go to your children, and I want you to have them kneel before you. I want you to have them kneel before you. And then I want you to take this generational blessing prayer, and we're going to pray over it together. Okay? We're going to pray over it together. So everybody find their babies. You can stay right where you are. You can bring them back to the front. You can go to the altar. We've got plenty of room in here. But let's just take a moment to do this, okay? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We're going to break the power of the devil here this morning. Amen. We're going to reverse the curse. We're going to lay blessing on our kids. Our kids are never going to be the same this morning, in Jesus' name. Is every family ready? Not yet? Okay, how many need more time? Just say more time. Okay, they got more time. All right, they're coming. Hang on there, children. Hang on. You can pray over them even now if you want to, but we're going to recite this prayer together. But you can begin praying now over them if you want to. How many have found their kids now? You need more time? Say more time. More time, okay. It's amazing how long it takes to find our children. They all look alike when they're standing together in a big pile. And it's not easy to find them, I understand. Bear with us, congregation, because I need you to pray in the Holy Ghost with us. This is so important. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost with us. And listen to me, young people. I know that you have, some of you, your hearts have strayed from God. I know that you have been bored with church. I know that you have wondered what's going on and that you're tired of it. And sometimes you give your parents a hard time and you are lured by the things of this world. But I'm telling you today, there's going to be a break in the power of the Spirit of God over that stronghold in your life. And you're going to change forever. The purposes and destiny and power of God is going to come in your life. How many parents need more time? Okay, we're all set? All right, look at this prayer card. Lay hands on them. Are you ready? We're going to say it together. Ready? Read. Father, as I lay hands upon my son or daughter, I want to thank you for his or her life. I speak their true identity. That is the righteous seed on the earth, fastened up to the Spirit of God. I pray they follow hard after God all the days of their life. I release them into fullness of purpose and calling. Their life shall be lived under the greater story of the Master Author. Destiny shall be released through them all the days of their life. I pray the empowerment of God through the Holy Spirit to be upon you all your days. May you walk by the Spirit's leading and speak under the unction of God. I impart a transfer of wisdom, truth, and anointing to them. May all that God is in me be in you, even more magnified in you. In Jesus' name, permit truth to be their shield and buckler. Father, I pray for an acceleration of the kingdom of God through my son or daughter. Even as Elisha performed twice the miracles, may my son or daughter also walk in a double portion anointing. Now, Lord, I commit them to your kingdom. May they be blessed all the days of their life. And may your kingdom come through them and your will be established by them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, I know this is a little unorthodox in the way we're ending, but here's what I want, guys. Before you leave today, I want you to come and get a towel. And I want you to take this towel home. And I want you to write something on this towel as a prayer cloth reminder of your children. Whether you just write on there, I will bless them. Whether you write on them, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Or whether you write on there, God bless you. I don't care what you write on it. But this is symbolic because you men are called to servanthood. This is a towel, not a title. It is a call to serve your family, the things of God. And may in all the days of your life burn indelibly in your heart to this sovereign call of God to pass the torch to this generation. Come on, guys. There's plenty of them up here. Get one towel, and I want you to take this with you and let it be part of your prayer cloth. Let it be part of your prayer life. Let it be that which you use to bless your children on subsequent times from here on out. Those of you that are listening by way of CD or watching on DVD, I want to challenge you in Jesus' name. Because I believe that God is calling a generation to minister and cover and bless another generation. And so I beseech you by the Spirit of God, that you would fall on your knees, repent of your sin, cry out to Jesus, be a man of God, be a woman of God, and cover your children in this hour. And let's allow revival to spread from the east to the west and the north to the south in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Give me somebody up here that can worship. I need a worship song, a worship leader. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We're just going to bless the Lord here for 1 minute. Thank you, Lord. Come on, guys, get your towels. Get your prayer cards. And I want you to pick up one of these Desperate Household Man-to-Man CDs. Don't leave here without it. Don't leave here without it. It'll change your life. It's just you and me talking, man-to-man. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. See? Come on, stand up to your feet. Let's worship. Come on, let's worship Jesus.
Holy fire.
this morning as we get ready to dismiss, we want to open up this holy place called the altar. We declare it to be a holy place. Some of us need to come and just carry before the presence of God on our knees just for a few moments. Some of us need to bring our families with us. And as a family, we seek God and worship together. I want to ask you to do that right now before we go that way. Some of you say, you know what? I need God. My family needs God. And we're just going to bow before the Lord together. And we're going to worship. We're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.